It is more than interesting to see that Friday's Daf Yomi, when we are in the middle of a heavy beginning of a heavy snow on Friday. So what was the Daf Yomi? Daf Yomi is a Gemara in Yuma, and the Gemara speaks about Aniyim, Ashirim, and people who have real problems with their Yetzirahs coming up before the heavenly tribunal, the Beis Din Shamala. So to the person who's an Ani and didn't find time to learn Torah, so they say to him like this, what was your problem? Torah b'mizonosai, I was busy with my mizonos. So they say to him, were you busier than Hillel, who really had a hard time? And he made a tarpik in working. He made a tarpik every day. It was a small amount, like a seller. Half of it he gave to the shomer of the Beis HaMedrash. Because in those days, the Batei Medrashes were out in the fields. And in order to be certain that people who were vagrants wouldn't just walk into the Beis HaMedrash, there was a shomer there. He had to be paid. So therefore, people paid for to be able to upkeep of the shomer. And the rest he brought home. So one day it was Erev Shabbos, a Friday. He had a lot of problems being able to get money, and he couldn't make enough. So what did he do? He came to the Beis Medrash, couldn't pay the shomer of the Beis Medrash, and therefore he went up and he got onto the roof to be able to hear the words of Shmaya the Evtalian, who were the Gedolim of the time. And they were the ones who he wanted to Kadesh Yishma Divrei Elokim Chayim. He wanted to hear the words of a living God. It's not he wanted to hear a shmooze, wanted to hear a shmooze. When he heard Torah, he wanted to hear the words of Hashem that he understood that he got from his Rebbeim. Mipishmai Vertalim. Also Hayom, Erev Shabbos Hayah. This was a Friday that he got onto the roof. Tkufas Tevis Hayisah. And it was the time of Tavis as well, like it is now. Vayered alav shelig min hashamayim. And there came snow. Here he is on the roof listening to Shmaya Vevtai, and it starts to snow. And it was towards the end of the day, so it wasn't so simple to be able to see that it was somebody on the skylight, so to speak. Kishalim aram hashachar. So the next day is Shabbos. And now Amud hashachar comes, it's getting light. And Shmaya says to Avtalian, he says, Achi, b'chol yom habayis ma'or me'ir. The whole, every day, our Beis Medrash has light. Hayom ofil, today it doesn't have light. How come there's no light? So they looked up at the skyline and they saw the image of a person. So they went ahead and they saw him and they came to take him down and they saw that he had three amas of snow on him, and he was unconscious. Hillel, unconscious. And they brought him down. Now, three amas could be anywhere to 6 feet to 5.5 feet of snow. So you say, how long? Did it snow that much in Yerushalayim? No one here. You know, in future times, people will learn the Gemara and they'll say, I don't think it doesn't snow that much in Yerushalayim. We will never ask that type of question at all. They brought him down and they had to be Mechal Shabbos for him. But that is what happened. So I share it with you because this was read on this Erev Shabbos, the time that we were experiencing such a large snowfall, and that, you know, nothing happens by happenstance. And therefore, we find out why is it that, you know, there could be many different reasons. But one thing's for certain, Ahava Satara is something which we saw over these last few days, in and out. I was outside, I didn't get a chance to come in today, because I was, the cabs weren't moving, and I was afraid to walk on the ice. But the fact is, very frustrating today. However, so much Ahava Satara that was around our place, which is like unbelievable as such. Now, it's important that we focus at a time now where the excitement is high, the interest is high, even inspiration is high, before it melts away. As that's what happens often. Inspiration melts away as the time goes. It's important for us to focus on what has happened. What are we able to glean? What are we able to gather from what happened in the last few days when we saw a whole city shut down? From those of us, I was born in Connecticut, who are Connecticut and New York and Montreal and Toronto and the other place. Snow is nowhere, you know, this is nothing new to us. However, that the whole city should shut down and be able to see, that is still different. To see the trees, because it's not just a question of snow and not even a question of ice, but all over the trees, some power lines as well. Not a simple thing at all. And this is one thing I want to leave us with all the time. No matter what happens, a person has to say, was nehmt men weg from this? What do I glean from this? Something happens, and it doesn't have to happen here. You see in Sfarim, something happens. The Chafetz Chaim saw that in Japan, an earthquake happened in Japan. A tsunami happened in Japan. He said, what do you learn from this? That's part of it. The news, what happens to the, in the world at large, has an impact on us. What do we learn from it? As a matter of fact, when the tsunami occurred some years ago, and that was the question that everybody asked, thousands of people were killed, the other half of the world, in Indonesia. And the question is like, what do you learn from that? And people at the time turned to the many different approaches, but the one which was very, very basic was that in Parshas Vayera, where there it says, Rashi, on the Posuk, that says, "Va'ani etches leiv paro." So Rashi says, "Chaimi daso shal kadosh baruch hu, mevi paranias ala umos." It is the way of God to bring tzaris on non-Jews. Ovdei alilim, they didn't get it for nothing. Idol worshippers. And the interesting thing is that in places like Japan, where until the time I was a baby, the emperor of Japan was still considered a god till they dropped the atom bomb on Japan. And in Indonesia, I mean, to this day, idol worship is rampant. So nothing happens to them just for nothing. But the fact is, when God brings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Piranias, he brings it for us. Kadesh Yishma Yisrael V'Yiro, so that Jews should see, and we should be driven to tshuva. That happened about the tsunami. It's only relevant for us this evening, because what I'm saying is, whatever happens in the world, a person, whether it's a financial situation, whether it is a natural disaster or natural, you know, something which is of plenty, one has to say, what do I learn from this? So the fact is, what do we glean from this? Much too early to know. I mean, really, when things happen, you know, people are still talking about the Holocaust. What do you learn from the Holocaust? You know, it's 70 years ago. Well, what? Too early. Wait a minute. You want perspective, you have to be able to step back. It's an interesting thing. If your finger, try this for a second. If you go ahead and you put your finger close to your eye, like so, you have a certain perspective. If it's still too far, far away, another perspective. We need perspective. We have to step back before we're able to understand things. So what happens from here? What's the purpose? What do we learn from this? So even though it's too early, there are things that we can, some basic examples. But I'll show you a reason why you can't possibly know things right away. Last year we had heavy rains, very, very heavy rains. Recall those of us who are here. So people focused on crops, on the land, on Lake Kinneret, so many different things. It was only till a little bit later that we realized that part of the windfall that we had from heavy rains was that tunnels that were made in Gaza into Eretz Yisrael caved in. The water flooded them. They caved in. You couldn't have known right away. It was only months later when the soldiers are looking, they find collapsed tunnels. So the fact is, we need a perspective sometimes to appreciate, and there's no question that other advantages came our way from the rains from last year too. But some ikrim are clear. I called the Gaivid this morning, my Rebbe, and I asked him, you know, what can one learn from our situation as such? hang out from this. So he said a major, again, many, many different things. One major is something that we, when we daven, we say every day. And it's something for us to definitely remember as such. And it goes this way. Hanoisen Sheleg Katsomer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends snow like wool. Kafor Kaefer Yefazir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends frost like ashes all over the place. Frost. Marshlich Karcho Kefitim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the cold, and that cold, Lifnei Karasa Miyamot. Who can stand up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cold? You know? Those of us who have been in touch, there are so many people who were without heat starting Friday, Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos. Now, we had people sleeping in our home, persons sleeping in our home, because that person didn't have a home with heat. Mufnei Karaso Miyamo. A person's reminded, wow, boy, a little bit of that electricity not functioning, a little bit of cold, not push it. And many of us have been in that situation. Those of us who have been at yeshiva can really appreciate from time to time the cold. But the fact is, people who have regular households, they don't expect it. We never. And when it happens, it disrupts life entirely. Yishlach devaro v'yamsim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and things can melt right away. And we're going to see melting. That's exactly what's going to happen. And when that does, soon we're just, this will only be a memory, but it's important for us to take away some of the concepts that go along with this. Magid Dvar of Yaakov, Chukov Mishpat of Israel. HaKadosh Baruch gives the message over to us. Lo Asachem L'chol Goy, Moshbetim Ba'al Yedu'um. HaKadosh Haluka. HaKadosh Baruch gives the message to Klal Yisrael within the context of Klal Yisrael, and that makes a major, major difference, Baruch Hashem, to us as such. But that was the guy that said, many lessons, but this is the major lesson to us. The might of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Nothing happens by happenstance. What we call Teva is an act of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and people understand that. The power of Hashem versus the powerlessness of Hashem, of ourselves. Limitations of man. Fine. One looks around and one sees that it was white on Asar B'Tevis. Interesting thing. A reminder perhaps for us. And there is, like I said, I'm going to mention many different possibilities. And if something resonates for you, wonderful. Many of them do for me. A reminder of tshuva. That's what the whiteness of snow, and it's still out there. Before it melts and before it gets all dirty, the very fact that snow is a reminder of the purity that can come from a tshuva that we continue. It's not a one-day tshuva. It's a continuation of thinking, how can I improve at this time? It's a wonderful time to coincide with incentives, because this is a time that we see we can do things that we never imagined that we'd be able to do. So why shouldn't it be Kabbalahs that'll make us better people for now and for the future as well? And on Asar B'Tevis, which is a pivotal kindness, a kindness that goes into Shabbos. And Rabbi Wiener spoke about it, and others have spoken. It's a Chassam Sofer that discusses, how come, of all the Tainasim, this is one that goes into Shabbos, like a Tainas Chalom, that you can fast on Shabbos? And the fact is that here was the beginning of really, of that which has affected us to this day and to Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. The beginning of a siege that brought the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, which led to the second destruction of the second base of Mikdash, which led to the pogroms, which led to the Chalmoneki massacres in the 1600s, which led, of course, to the Holocaust period, the Chorban of Europe, which led to our situation being in the midst of 40 million Arabs, more than that, actually, and being involved over here with an Iranian atomic crisis, all these things. Where does it begin? It begins in the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, which the siege began on Asar B'Tevis, the effect of that day. So one has this opportunity to think for a moment, opportunities to bring the base of Mikdash, to bring to, instead of Horban, to have Binyan, and therefore the snow is just a reminder if we want to be able to use it. On the positive side, there's another consideration, totally different. Shefa Bracha. When a Kaddish Baruch Hu decides that he wants to give a Bracha, he can give anything he wants. and it affects our lives. He can give the there could be just like plenty of rain, hopefully at the right time, plenty of snow if he decides. It can affect a person's life at any time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that a person gets plenty of siyata d'shmaya to be able to become the lamdan that he wants to be able to be, that he's working on it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us, there's nothing out of our reach. It's for the Klal Yisrael, the Shefer Bracha, and for the Prat Yisrael, for the group and for the individual as well. And that's something, a reminder. We see it before our very eyes. We see it before our very eyes. It is this matzav that we found ourselves here pushed many, many different buttons. And even, you know, you could be involved in it too. Let me talk about some of the buttons of chesed that were involved as such. A woman who stayed at our house mentioned that when she had a glass roof on part of her house. And if there's too much pressure of anything, snow pressure, it can cave in. As a matter of fact, I passed the place today in Ramat Eshkol, in the commercial district. The whole roof of one of the places there had caved in. There was a makeshift binyan caved in altogether. So she was looking around for people to help clean it off. Couldn't find anybody. And then Baruch Hashem, two Evreichim came. And she asked, can you help me for a little bit of time? And both agreed, and they got on top of her roof. This is Erev Shabbos. They got on top of the roof of this, you know, of this part of the house. And it didn't take them a few minutes. It took them an hour. And she says, when they left, they said thank you. What stayed in her mind, of course they helped her. But the fact is how they helped her. And that's part of the chesed that was involved. And something for us, it's not, it's when I put the title of snow, more snow, and beyond the snow, this is the type of thing that goes beyond the snow. It's not what we do necessarily, it's how we do it. And she'll always remember that two of Reichim, unknown, she doesn't know who they are, they don't know who she is either. But the fact is, they are ones who said thank you after they did this for her too. Someone called to find out how we were, we made other calls. Person appreciated somewhere in Harnof. Harnof is hit hard for some reason, electrically, otherwise heat. And you call up a person there, people appreciate that. You may even know of somebody, even if they're able to say to you, Baruch Hashem, I'm okay, it's fine. You know, the electricity went on. The very fact, they always remember, you cared about them. And every one of us wants to know that people care. The chesed homes became batei midrashos. Homes became the batei kinesios where we were davening. It is fantastic, the opportunity that, you know, that came out through this. Somebody said to me who didn't know any better, did you have a minion? Across from us, those of us who know Rabbi Braufman's shul, small place. Today, mincha, over 100 people were there. I'm not exaggerating. Over 100 people died. The Batei Midrashos in the Bnei Yeshiva, the Batei Midrashos, were all the last couple of days filled. The guys who couldn't be able to make it to Yeshiva were in the Beis Medrash. Baruch Hashem, Torah learning continued. Here, it just wasn't here. Baruch Hashem, where fortunately we have the dorms nearby. But the fact is, all over, Torah Baruch Hashem continues. There's a pasuk that says like this. It's interesting. It says, El Beis Hashem Nelech Birogesh. To the house of Hashem we will go birogesh. Rogesh means with feeling. How do you spell birogesh? Beis, reis, gimel, shin. Reish stands for ruach. Gimel is geshem. Shin is shelling. With passion, we are ready to go. Birogesh, whether it is raining, whether it is windy, whether it is snowing, we're going to go to the Beis Medrash. To the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we go under all circumstances. Nothing is going to hold us back. And listen, who knows, through all the buttons of chesed, what could have been averted? What, nobody knows. What was coming our way in another way? Who knows? that we'll never know until Mashiach comes, that through all the chesed, through all the Torah learning, through inconvenience, whatever it is, that with things certainly we will benefit as well as, we'll benefit as well as something that could have been averted. Shemitah is coming next year. A year of rain, a heavy year of rain and snow. What's the impact that we're going to have on the Shemitah year? We'll never get all the answers. But just know, there's a plan, P&P, plan and purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it all set up for us. And there's no question about that as well. Opportunity to appreciate, to think and thank. Did we have here electricity? Did we have heat? Is there now? Baruch Hashem. Fortunate that we had blankets, adequate heat, everything, Baruch Hashem, that we had. When we daven tomorrow, Rokah Aretz Alamayim. Rokah Aretz Alamayim. We've talked about brachas before. Rabbi, if you remember when Rabbi Krohn was here, he said a beautiful word about Shasli Kol Tzarki. If you recall, Shasli Kol Tzarki goes on shoes. He said, of all garments that we have, the only one that you can't tailor, I can always tailor this suit, get a little heavy, so they'll let out the pants, on whatever it is. However, when it comes to shoes, you can't do that. You can stretch them a little bit, but you can't. The shoe has to be made the way it fits your foot. Shasli Kol Tzarki, he says his words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me all my tzrachim. I'm thinking of shoes. You gave me exactly the fit I need. This is an aside I'm sharing with you. That was that bracha. Okay? So when we say Shasli Kol Tzarki, we're thanking Hashem that whatever I need, I have exactly what I need. Wonderful. Now, when we take a bracha of Rakar Salamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spreads out the land upon the water. He makes it possible for us to walk. A person who has been through walking on the slush, on the snow, on the ice. Wow. What an opportunity, Baruch Hashem, that we have to be able to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and appreciate that we're able to maneuver and navigate on land, which is not so simple to be able to be on, per se. Rabbi Weiner told me that he was flooded, if I use that word, you'll excuse me, but flooded with shilas that came up. Yisrael Kadoshim, all questions that came up about, whether it's the Erev, or whether it's how you name it, the questions that came up related to snow, and what's permissible as far as halachas of muktzah, or halachas of then people who didn't have electricity, or partial electricity, what they're able to do, questions of hatman, questions of bishul, questions that came up. I heard excitedly of people who were in their shuls, and you found all the Avreichim looking in Mishnah Brura to be able to clarify shilas that came up on Shabbos, because this is what people didn't want to make any possibility of making a mistake, especially the Eretz Yisrael Dikir ones who put. And they didn't have galoshes, many of them. So they didn't have boots. So they used the plastic to be able to wrap their feet in. Many of them, because they weren't sure of the halacha on Shabbos as to whether or not you're allowed to wear plastic to protect your feet. And they had the shiloh. So therefore, and weren't sure what to do, they took care, left the plastics, in shul, and when trudged home, and they came in, wet feet, wet shoes, whatever it was. But the key was that they were medactic in halacha, and this is something else that made it possible for people to be very careful in halacha as such. Another machshava that I want to share with you is changing weather. Leave gives hope to people. And it also makes other people more careful in what they're thinking about too. David HaMelech or Shlomo, I'm forgetting if it's David or Shlomo, had a ring. The ring said, Gamze Yavor, this will too will pass. And it was a reminder, could have been Shlomo HaMelech, this too will pass, that if, just like the weather changes, so too the life situation changes. A person who's having difficulty, he can look up and say, hi, wow, it was snowing, it was raining, it was cold, but now it's warm, it's sunny. Life changes. A Kaddish Baruch Hu brings us reminders. Well, the same thing over here with a person who has, things are going his way. he gets up in the morning, it's great, it's fine and all that, he should realize that too can change. One thing's for certain that is unchangeable, and that is that our focus has to be with our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether it's the person having a hard time and he wants a change, like a change in the weather, or a person is having, things are going so well, at the bank, at the home, and he should know that he also has to be certain to establish a relationship which he has. And therefore, in both, one has to take life more seriously, the other one has hope in life, and that is major, without a doubt. I want to share with you a shaila that came up with snow. A little different. It's not related to us. It came up in England. There was a rash of burglaries that happened in snow. Reb Zilberstein speaks about it. Shaila was sent to him. A person waited, or maybe people waited to see on snowy days what was the situation in front of a person's house. If there was, if he saw that there were footsteps going in and out on Shabbos of the person's house, so he realized that the people were home, and he didn't try to get into their home. But when a person saw in front of a person, someone else's home, that the snow was, the snow was untouched, he figured, not that the people were home and nobody went outside, but he figured after looking at the house that nobody was home. And that was the case most of the time. And therefore, he was more inclined to go in and have a break-in like that. What was the shaila? That's the situation. It's Shabbos. The thieves go into the home after they case the area. They see what the situation is with the snow. If there are footprints, they leave it alone. If it's no footprints, they go in and they try. Okay? So then what was the shaila? The shaila was like this. On Shabbos, am I allowed to walk back and forth on somebody's, who went away, his home, in order to put footprints there so that someone will think that someone is there? A shaila that came up. That was the shaila that came to Reb Zilberstein. Could I do that? Walk back and forth. What's the shaila over here? Well, there's a iser, the whatever there is not going to remain. So it certainly is not a dover shel kayama. But ksiva, which is a filu shelo that is not going to be kayam, if it is bikavona, is not allowed either. So therefore, if stamazoi, I am walking, and even on the bottom of my shoes, let's say, it says Oxford, or whatever it is, the bottom, and it makes an impression, it's not my kavanah, and it's not going to stay, and it's nothing, I'm allowed to walk, to walk that way. But if my kavanah is to make a ksiva on the snow, even if it's not a dover shel kayama, because it's not, there is an issur derabbanan, and one wouldn't do it. But there is another consideration, another derabbanan. If a person would put his right shoe, says Reb Zilberstein, on his left foot, and his left and the left shoe on his right foot, under those circumstances, he would be allowed to be able, together with the fact that it's a ksiva of the davar she'ena kayim, together with the fact that it's done with such a shinui, it's a possibility of being allowed to do. So he came to the conclusion that stamazoi, to go ahead and make such a ksiva with one's shoes for the purpose of making marks there, certainly not allowed in the regular way. With a shinui, he left it as a sorach iyun. But again, I mention it to you just lichidudi ba'alma, to be aware that shilas come up as such, and the more that a person learns, the more he's able to handle under all circumstances. And even the shilas that came up this weekend, one had to be able to know it's a shilas to be able to handle many of the things. So certainly even one would figure, what do I have to learn this or this for? It's not nogeya. You never know when something is nogeya. All of a sudden, you know, situation like we have, and something which almost never is relevant, but it's important to me to be able to know in Hilchas Erevin, or Hilchas Bishul, or whatever, or the Halachas of Shabbos with shoes, whatever it may be, for me to be able to at least ask the Shaila, if not to be able to paskin it. Have a good day, and mitat zlocha. Thank you.